Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if you got your Bible tonight, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. I want to talk tonight about the power of agreement. Or, to say it this way, the place of agreement is the place of power.
Come on.
The place of agreement is the place of power. And you can think of this works in all areas of our life. You know, how much more powerful is a marriage when the husband and wife are in agreement? How much more powerful is the thrust of a business when people are there and they're in agreement with how it's going in the direction? You know, it just works in every area of life. And so tonight we want to look at some things related to that. And I want to start here in Matthew chapter 18, and we'll begin reading in verse 15. I'm going to read from the King James Bible, and if I take a few these and thous out, you won't mind, will you? Every once in a while, I'll do that. And then I want to read this also from the Amplified Bible. We'll do that also tonight. Here's we look at some scriptures concerning agreement. Here in Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 15, Jesus is speaking here. And I'm reading it here because it's in red. And so I know it's Jesus. We've got a red letter Bible here. But he said this: "Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he shall hear you, you have gained your brother." Now, I want you to notice that. You have gained your brother. Now, in looking at this, this is a way to handle conflict. And in all of this, as Jesus goes through this, never is the goal to prove I'm right and you're wrong. The goal is to bring us to a place of agreement. Now, we can agree that we disagree, but we're going to come back together in unity. That's the whole deal here, all right? We're looking at win-win situations. You're going to gain, I'm going to gain. He says, "But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen man and a publican." Now, to get to that place, you're going to have to go through and diligently try to win this brother or sister over. You're going to have to, and you don't go. Again, we're not going to prove I'm right and you're wrong. We've got to restore. We're trying to restore our fellowship so that we both gain here. How many of you know it's okay if we disagree about things? All right? For instance, let me ask you this. How many in here you think the greatest football team in the history of the world is the Dallas Cowboys? Let me see Dallas Cowboy fans. Raise your hand. Get thee behind me. Boy, there's not many Cowboy fans here in this room. But can't say that at Rainbow Bible Church. You'd have Cowboy fans. Then all the Pittsburgh Steelers fans would be standing up yelling and screaming. No. See? See, now we can disagree about who's the best football team, but yet we can still walk in agreement because we're talking about here harmony and same spirit, and that type of thing. That's what we're looking to restore here. But then he gets here in verse 18 and says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then verse 19. "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Now, we kind of pull that verse out, and it's okay because there is a prayer of agreement. But really, he's talking about us restoring our agreement. We've touched it. We've touched this issue that, you know, here you have a Pittsburgh Steeler fan and a Green Bay Packer fan. Well, we're not going to get along based on what our football teams are, but we do get along based on who our Father God is, and we're one in Christ. Amen? And so we're touching that. We're agreeing together to that. And where two or three of us gather together is touching anything that we shall ask. Father, thank you for restoring us, our fellowship together, our agreement together. Thank you, Father. It shall be done. Now, we can do that. We'll talk about it in relationship to prayer also. Now notice here, Jesus didn't make any apologies. He didn't say it might be done. He said it shall be done. But we have to agree. You see, I can't, and it's interesting sometimes in going through when you pray along this line or you go along this line. You know, I've had people that say, would you agree with me in prayer? Well, I'll stop. I want to know what you're going to pray. And there's a whole lot more to it. I agree with you, brother. Well, I don't know if I agree with you or not. You know, what are you going to say? And so a lot of times, you know, in this, I just say, well, you pray. Tell me what you're going to pray, and then you pray. You've asked me to agree with you. You don't want me to pray. Oh, I thought you'd do the praying. No, it's your issue. I'm agreeing with you. You do the praying, and I'll do the agreeing, and we'll agree. And then if we get to the end of our prayer and we say amen, and I say, do you have it? And you say, I hope so. No, we're not in agreement because I believe you have it and you're hoping so. Yeah. Right? So agreement, there has to be. We have to understand, you know, sometimes it's good if we define our terms. What does it mean to agree? See, what does it mean to agree means that we are in harmony with one another. We're thinking about this the same way. Now you realize he said in verse 19, look at that again, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. Boy, you ought to mark that in your Bible or write that if you're taking anything that they shall ask. Now, of course, we understood there is an underlying truth that we all must know. We're not going to be asking for something that's not God's will. So we have to know, first of all, and I heard Brother Hagin say it over and over, go to God's word and find out what his will is concerning this situation. Do that first. Yeah. So let's do that first. Go to the, well, once we get there, see, because now you and I can agree concerning the word. Well, he meets anything. Let's say you've got you've got a bill, or you're wanting to get out of debt, or you're wanting to, well, what does the word say? Well, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Give and it shall be. I mean, there's all kinds of scriptures. We can come together and we can agree together that and it's anything. We could agree concerning healing in your body. We could agree concerning, you know, that you're believing God for a better job or whatever the case may be. We can agree together as touching anything that they shall ask. Now, notice here we have to ask. Now, notice he said, it shall be done for them of my Father. The moment, listen to me, which is in heaven, the moment we get into agreement, heaven goes into action.
Amen. Come on.
Praise the Lord. Now, one thing to think about it, here's another thing. The moment, another place of agreement that we haven't thought about, the moment I begin to agree with the word of God, that word goes into action on my behalf. Now, until I agree with it, that word could be true. But if I don't agree with it, and agreement means I'm going to act upon it, it's never going to affect my life. Okay? How many of you lived a few years before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? But was he the same? Did he die for you?
Yes.
I mean, I was 19 years old. So for 19 years, Jesus had been my Savior, right? But was I a Christian? No, I wasn't. I went to church. That doesn't make you a Christian, does it? No. I had to be born again. Right? So I was born again when I was 19 in June 30th, 1980. I was 19 years old and I was born again. Well, when I acted upon the word of God, I confessed with my mouth that Jesus was Lord. I believed in my heart, God raised him from the dead. So I said that and I knew immediately a change had taken place. Now that had been available to me my whole life. But until I agreed with it and then acted upon it, it did not have any effect on my life. And that's the same thing true with the rest of the world. We can agree. This agreement, the place of agreement is the place of power. Whatever we can, you know, when you go to the God's word, if it says this is who you are, I agree with that right there. Well, bud, you don't know. No, I agree with that. Because what's the Bible say? Let God be true, or let his word be true, and every man a liar. Even me, if I'm thinking contrary to what God's word says and I read in God's word it says this, then that must be true.
Come on.
Amen.
Come
on. Some people say, well, you know, I'm just the least of the body of Christ. Well, the least of the body of Christ is in a great position. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So he goes on here and says in verse 24, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now we've used that, you know. I've got a friend over in Kenya. He says, well, wherever two or three are gathered together, whether on the road or under a tree, he'll say, wherever we gather together, he's there in our midst. Well, gathered together to do what? We're gathered in agreement. See, keep it in context. Sometimes we like to pull scriptures out and make it, but you know, here's something about it. if I'm there by myself, Jesus is still there because he's in me. Okay? But when we come into agreement concerning something, we come together in his name and we're in agreement, then there's a manifestation of that ability that's already there. See, it goes into action when we act upon it. Now, I want to read this from the Amplified Classic Version, in other words, the original Amplified, verse 15. If your brother wrongs you, go and punch him in the mouth. No, go show him his fault between you and him privately. If he listens to you, I love this, you have won back your brother. You see, now, he didn't say, go tell him, you know, you're right, he's wrong, but go tell him, here's something, all right? Now, some people have taken this. Let me say this. If your brother doesn't know he's wrong, this is something where there's obviously something gone wrong here. I've had people come and say, brother, I've got to ask you to forgive me. Well, I usually will jump right there. I'll usually jump and say, well, I forgive you. Well, wait a minute, I haven't even told you that matter. I forgive you. I just want to let you know right now you're forgiven. You don't have to tell me if you don't want to. But some people love to rehearse stuff, you know. They want to tell their story. And, you know, well, you were preaching one time and you said something and I just got mad and I got all offended about that. I didn't know anything about it. Wasn't bothering me any. And then that's usually the case when we get offended. Yeah. Amen. How many of you drove a car today? Did you have a chance to get offended by the way other people were driving? Did it affect them any? No. Just bothered me. Praise the Lord. Now, I shouldn't say praise the Lord for that bothering me, but let's just say me and my whoever's driving that car were not in agreement, okay? But I'm not going to go privately, you know, pull up next to them and say, no, 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 no. That's where you get in trouble now, okay? But verse 16 says, but if he does not listen, take along with you one or two others so that every word may be confirmed and upheld by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And again, we're taking those folks with us not to prove who's right or wrong, but to get this settled so we can have fellowship with one another. But if they pay no attention, refusing to listen and obey, tell it to the church. And if you refuse to listen even to the church, let him be as you, a pagan and tax collector. That's not really our point tonight, but I want to get to verse 18. Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what already is permitted in heaven. In other words, go to the word first, find out what the word says about it. Okay? Then verse 19. Again I tell you, if two of you on earth agree. Now look here, listen, the Amplified helps us here. Harmonize together. Make a symphony together. About whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. So this agreement is where we might be singing a different part of the same song, but it's harmonized together. See, we're in agreement. We're together in it. It's like a symphony. And everybody, have you been to the symphony? They don't all play the same instrument, do they? No. Because that wouldn't be a symphony. You couldn't call it a symphony then, could you? But they play it. But they all, the sound comes together to make one sound. That's what the Bible says. On the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place in one accord. They were one together. They were there in agreement. What are they doing? They're waiting for the promise of the Father to come from. Because why? Jesus told them to be there. And so they're together. Why are we here today? We're waiting for the promise of the Father. They're in one accord. And suddenly, Bible said, whoo, glory to God. Now, it suddenly does. You know, with God, it's not suddenly. He's timeless. So it's just, that's when he decided it would be. Glory to God. He says there, harmonize together, make a symphony together. Amen. Well, you know, have you ever heard people sing? Sometimes little kids, when they grow up together, it's amazing. I found that, you know, some of these singing groups that get together that are family members that grew up together, their harmonies are so wonderful because they're so used to each other's. We've got a brother and sister at our church over at Raymond, Jonathan and Cynthia Bruneau. Their family, very, very, but those, their harmonies, I've seen a video recording of their family together. They said, yeah, at our family get-togethers, you're going to sing. That's what, but I've seen the video and listened to it. The harmonies are incredible. just incredible. Listen, why? They're used to each other's voice. They've been listening. They've spent time with one another. See, that's one thing about this. In order for us to walk in agreement, we've got to spend time with each other. Amen? Harmonizing together, making a symphony together. You know, I remember I was preaching at church one time, and a woman got up, bless her heart. She's going to sing a special. It was special, all right. She got up and she said, now y'all, well, anytime somebody starts saying, now y'all pray for me, I was like, oh no, no, please. You know, don't just sit down. But no, they said, y'all pray for me. And she said, it's been a busy week. You know, it started, oh God, I'm sitting there thinking, oh God, please, please God. No, but she kept it going, you know, it's been a busy week. This was in Eastern Kentucky, in the hills of Eastern Kentucky, this church. It's been a busy week, and I haven't had time to practice. Now, see, if I was probably practicing, I said, well, just sit down then, sweetheart. When you practice, we'll let you sing it. I don't think the woman had ever heard this song before in her life. She had the words in front of her, and the track was playing, but she wasn't singing anything. There was no harmony and agreement between what she sang and the way the song was played. Amen. My wife Amanda was at a thing one time, and a lady got up and said, I'm going to sing Oh How I Love Jesus to the tune of Amazing Grace. And so was there accompaniment? Piano player got and played, oh, you know, Amazing, Amazing Grace. But the woman sang Oh How I Love Jesus. Not to the tune of Amazing Grace, to Oh How I Love Jesus. It was a talent. That was at a talent show.
She didn't win.
I don't know. She didn't win? Well, that was good. Okay. Well, how many of you know there's no agreement there? There's no, that wasn't harmony. That was not a symphony. That was sympathy. That's what people had there. They had to have sympathy for it because it didn't go together. See, we're talking about agreement, that place of agreement. Okay. Now, let's look at a few more scriptures here now. Let's go to Amos. Oh, Old Testament book. Give you a little bit of time to find Amos. I always think of it this way, Hosea, Joel, Amos. That's how I always remember that. Yeah, start the song, Genesis. I've had that happen in class. I was sitting there and say, let's turn to certain, and I'm like, why is there so much noise in class? And I realized the students over at Raymond, they're singing the Bible book song, trying to find out where the book is, you know. I had somebody ask me one time, how do you turn to those books so quick? I said, it's not the first time I've been there. I've turned to it before. And the more you turn to it, the faster you'll get. That's all right. If this is new to you, Amos is new to you, that's all right. Don't feel bad about it at all. But Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Now here's God talking about him and the children of Israel and why they're not together. He says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? How many of you have ever participated in a three-legged race where they tie the two middle legs together? How many of you realize you got to decide really quick to agree? Are you going to what? You're going to fall down. Or they put, you know, each of you put one leg in the sack and try to hold that and go on. It's interesting, you know, at our graduation, as the dean of the school, I get the privilege of walking next to Pastor Hagen as we walk in this long, you know, carpet. And you stay on the line, you know, because Miss Hagen said if we don't, we're in trouble. So we stay on the line. But he's military, and he wants it to be precision. So he counts cadence as we're walking. You're left, you're left. I wasn't in the military, but I had to learn to listen to him. So I'm making sure my left's going down when his is. And I'm watching, you know, I got this smile plastered on my face. I'm thinking they might be taking pictures, but I'm really nervous and I'm trying to walk with him, you know. And then for a while, you know, when he had, before he had knee problems and our gait got a little slower. Now, then the next year after he got that fixed, we went really fast. I'm just trying to be in agreement. Amen. And arrive at the other end at the same time with the same foot going up the steps. That's the goal. Praise the Lord. Well, that's why. Because we can't walk together unless we're agreed. Yeah. Except we be agreed. That's good advice there for married couples. And you single folks who will be married. Don't make major decisions unless you agree, and even agree on the small things. Glory to God. Now you're not going to agree on every little thing, but as you know, the major, you learn how to make what's major. You can't do stuff. You know, what if I came to a man and I said, "Okay, next week we're going to move to Timbuktu, wherever that is. I have no idea where Timbuktu is, if there even is one." You know, I said, "I don't care. You know, I'm the head of the house. I'm the man. And we're moving to Timbuktu." If she says, "Well, I don't want to go," you know what a smart person would do? Okay, we're not going. Until we're in agreement, right? Because where there's no agreement, there's no power. I'm going to tell you right now. Look at, are you ready for another? Ecclesiastes. Uh-oh. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I say, Ecclesiastes. Well, how many of you know that's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Most folks can find Psalms at least, right? Now, Can I vent a little bit about, and I wrote down the wrong verse, guys. Hang on a second. I'm wanting to vent, and I'm not going to have to. Hang on. I'll find it here. That's not it. 3:12 must be. 4:12. It should be 4:12, guys. Sorry. Ecclesiastes 4:12. I wrote down 3, and it should have been 4. I thought I made a mistake once, but I was wrong. No, I make them. Glory to God. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Now, I said, you know, the whole, we can agree together, but here's something that just really bugs me, okay? And I heard one of our graduates here recently say this, and he said, turn to Psalms 23. There is no Psalms 23. There is Psalm 23. There are 150 Psalms. You say, well, what does that matter? It just bugs me, okay? I just got to be real here. Anyway, I got that off my... Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pray for me, y'all. Ecclesiastes 4:12. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Glory to God. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. He said, remember, wherever two or three are gathered together, how many of you can break apart one string? All right? Two, a little bit harder. Three, maybe even harder. Well, make it big. And three, but you want a good rope, you want more strands in it, don't you? You don't want just, you know, one single rope. Okay? I was watching, I don't know why I mean to watch this. I just kind of was clipping through and, they had that the fantastic journey where they minimized those doctors and shot them in that guy's bloodstream. Any of you remember that movie? Shot him in there? Well, yeah. There's a guy, he's going into the lungs because one of their tanks had fallen short and they can't drive their boat now and the guy and so they're gonna get air out of this guy's lungs and fill up their tank again. And so the guy's in there and he said, "Here, tie me off onto the ship." Well, it was a single strand cord with a little clip that they clipped it on. I'm thinking, wrap that cord around the whole ship if I'm going out there. Well, it snapped because it was, you know. And you think, you know, I can use about anything in a sermon. I'll make it work somewhere. But I got to thinking about that as I was watching that, because the Lord been dealing with me about this, about agreement. I thought, that's a secret. That doesn't make any sense. That was, you knew something bad was going to happen. Amen. Well, that's what happens, you know, when we have an opportunity. See, we try to do things by ourselves. You say, well, I'm a single person. That doesn't mean you're by yourself, right? We're powerful when we come together. Now, here's one of my favorite, Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. How many of you ever heard that song Lynn Minkey sing it? Deuteronomy, 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 Deuteronomy. How many times it can't mean did he sing that song, Cliff? Yeah, many, many times, didn't he? Yep, Brother Lynn, he's a good one. All right, chapter 32, and let's look at verse 30. Now, you might have heard somebody say this. I didn't know where the verse was, but. And here he's talking about, and when we come against our enemy, and how that God helps us. Deuteronomy 32:30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock, glory to God, that's our rock, Jesus, had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. See, when the Lord gets involved in it, when we get into, when two of us come together, notice, one can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. The place of agreement is the place of power. Amen. In so many aspects of life, it's a principle of God's life. And so, finally, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll look at that verse and a couple different, as far as our verses here that we got written down. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, Paul here, in talking to the church at Corinth, you know, the church at Corinth was the church of excess. They could have named themselves that. First Church of the Excess. I mean, when they came together, you know, we're going to have communion here next week. When they came together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, they thought, well, if a little bit, little drink from the vine's good, let's just drink the whole bottle. And they come, and if a little bread, we're going to have a feast. And so they, and the first one's there, first one served. It was if all the food was gone by the time you showed up, you got to get to church early. It reminded me of my one side of my family, you know, on holidays. I mean, people would show up, and once there was enough food to eat, that's when they started. You could never say, what time are we starting? Well, there was no start time. As soon as there's enough food to eat, we're eating. Okay? And so you get there, and there'd be, you know, you bring your, all you did was replace. Because everybody else, I mean, they'd already dug in. Well, the church at Corinth was that way. And then they had, you know, they had excess of spiritual gifts, you know. If one person wanted to speak, you know, teach, everybody had some. One person wanted to prophesy, everybody prophesied. I mean, it was just excess in everything. And Paul told him in the beginning, you know, he said, one of your problems is that you're carnal and you're divided up. And the place of division is the place of powerlessness. If the place of agreement is the place of power, division causes powerlessness. And you can understand when in the Word of God, the statement concerning strife, where there's envy and strife, there's every evil work. See, because it divides us. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, now I beseech you, brethren. In other words, I have a strong, I'm strongly asking you something here. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this, that you all speak the same thing. Now how many of you know in order for us to do that, we're going to have to get together and talk about it. Right? Concerning this situation, whatever's happening, and you're wanting to agree with, you're wanting to, let's take it back to that prayer of agreement. You're wanting to pray with somebody. Well, what are we going to say about this? Because we're going to say the same thing. How many of you worked enough in business or something, if you've got a team, you want everybody on the team saying the same thing, right? Otherwise, you're going to have division on that, aren't you? All right. He says, you speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So, same thing, he said, speak the same thing, have the same mind and the same judgment. Well, we're going to find out really that word judgment there means opinion. Oh, there's something. Well, if you can ever get people's opinions to be the same, you've had a miracle. Let's read in the Amplified Bible here. But I urge and entreat you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, him invoking the name on this means this is very important. That all of you be in perfect harmony. There's that harmony again. Perfect harmony. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, you just know something's off. You know something's off. Okay? I know we were blessed to be able to build a house here. Well, it's been 14 years ago now. But I was in there one day when it was, you know, the pad was poured and the walls are going up and they're framing it, you know. And I went in there one day and I started looking. Something was off. Something was just off. I knew something was off. And so I used to, one of the jobs I've had in the past was to go out and measure rooms for a carpet company, you know, so they could do a lot of the cutting before they got there. And so I went and got my tape measure and I started measuring. And they had poured that pad 2 feet short. In a hurry to get it done, they'd poured it 2 feet short. So I called the contractor, you know, and we worked out a deal, and they added some stuff for us. But that 2 feet still short still affects things today. All right. Now, you know, we had some options there, but we weren't to the place where we wanted to start all the way over, so we weren't going to do that. But you know, when things are just off, have you heard people say that something? It's like a half a bubble off, you know, of being level. Something's not right. Sometimes we just know that something's off on the inside. We're not exactly sure what it is, but there's something off on the inside. Well, we've got to spend time then in, first of all, going to the Word and going to the Lord so that we can get in harmony. He says that all of you be in perfect harmony, and look at this, and full agreement in what you say. See, what we say is reflective of what we believe. And you can tell, you can locate people by what they say. And so we're going to say that there be no dissensions or factions or divisions among you. But notice this, but that you be perfectly united in your common understanding and in your opinions and judgments. Boy, that's a challenge to us all, isn't it? It's a challenge to us all. How many of you realize that a lot of times there's a lot of ways to get something done and to be done right? A lot of ways to do it. But once, you know, once you're in a position, depending on what position you are in that chain of command, once the decision's made. And so your opinion no longer matters. What's going to help? That's helping somebody right now. Maybe me. But it's going to help. That helps some. My opinion no longer matters once the decision's been made. I've got to get myself in agreement so there's no dissent. I'm not going to be putting forth any dissension. And I've got to, and how can I tell? What am I saying about that situation? Well, I don't think we ought to be doing it this way. But they said that's what I know. Well, we're going to have to do it that way. Anyway. Well, you see, I'm causing division. First of all, anytime division is caused, first of all, you divide yourself from it. Now, how many of you know there are some things in life you need to divide yourself from? If you got some friends that aren't leading you towards the things of God, you need to divide yourself from them.
That's right.
Right? If you got situations, you know, and that type of thing, you need to make changes. But I'm talking about, and we're working in these things that are right and are just. Well, we need to make sure that one of our goals is to maintain that unity. Bible talks about the unity of the Spirit. Why? Because we know beyond a shadow of doubt that the place of agreement is the place of power. I'm going to be in a place of power when I am in agreement. Because it's not about me getting my own way or have everything has to be done my way. Even as, you know, I like to say it this way. I'm a man under authority, but I have others under my authority. You see, it depends on what situation it is, depending on what place I am in this decision-making process. But once decisions are made, you see, if I'm the person in authority, I need everybody to say the same thing.
That's right.
Here's what we're saying about this. Decision's been made, so opinions are over. Okay? Now I'm thinking of a verse in Hebrews chapter 6. Turn over there. Hebrews chapter 6. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6. Now, he's talking here in chapter 6, and I'm going to read verse 16 is what I want to look at. But in chapter 6, here in talking about following those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, God, you know, made certain promises to Abraham. Remember that? And, you know, we get on the witness stand in the United States, we swear I'm telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Who's God going to swear by? He's God, right? So there's no greater than God for him to swear by. I swear by, no, he is it. Okay, so he has to swear by himself. And he told him what he did. Now, verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation. See, God gave his word. He made an oath to him. I am going to do this, Abraham. An oath for confirmation is the end of all strife. Now, what's that? What other translation? It's the end of all discussion. Once God said it, we don't need to discuss it. That's it. And that happens in life too. Once the decision's been made, The time for strife is over. Now, strife in this sense doesn't necessarily mean bad. It just means the discussion, the giving different things. Now, interesting, you know, Pastor Hagin, in our staff meetings, and if you just sit there like a bump on the log, he'll call you out in staff meeting. He'll, when an idea is presented, he'll say, now, what do you guys think? Because once an idea is presented, our job is to try to blow holes in it. Because if we can blow holes in it, it definitely will, people will blow holes in it once it gets out there, you know. So they ask, well, what do you think about this? When they're asking for that. And so it's our job to say, well, have we considered this? Have you looked at that? Have you looked at that? Now, I will say this. To those of you that present ideas, never marry your self-worth to your idea. Amen. Because they're not. If they reject your idea, it's just the idea that's rejected, not you. If they don't see the value of the idea, that doesn't mean they don't see your value. I had to learn that years ago. We had a situation. I was a part of a staff and was there for 9 years at that time, which I thought was a long time then. Now I'm a lot longer in these days, but we were a part of that staff. And we had grown together to where when an idea, man, we went after it. We just went after it, you know, and no. When we talked, well, a new person was there and presenting an idea. And so we just took off after it. They ran out of the room crying. And, you know, we just all looked at each other like, what's wrong with them? Exactly. But they weren't used to that. Okay. And it wasn't their idea was bad. We were just, sometimes, you know, if I'm in a certain area, my ideas are always tainted by the area that I'm in. And I don't think about what everybody else has to do. Boy, why don't we get off on some of these things tonight? Anyway, praise the Lord. But an end to all strife. So speaking the same thing, saying the same thing. And that's how, go back to Matthew now. That's how we come into that place of agreement. We discuss it, and now we're into that place of agreement, and we know that if two of us, according to anything that we shall ask, is touching anything that we shall ask, it shall be, everybody say shall be, done for us. Who by who? The Father, which is in heaven. Verse 19, again I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. That's pretty powerful right there. The place of agreement is the place of power. Father, we just thank you tonight. We give you the praise and the honor for your word. Father, your word is true. And we place ourselves in agreement with your word, Father God. And as we act upon these things, I know that it shall happen just as you promised it would. Father, we give you praise and honor. We give you glory. For you are the great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Well, you know, if there's situations that you're dealing with and going through, check up on things. If things haven't been working out, check up on things. If I got myself in a position that I'm outside of agreement, that I put myself in contention with someone or something, sometimes we can strive against that which is just trying to help us. We don't realize it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for this night. Father, as we leave this place this night, I know that we go in your grace and in your mercy. And Father, we surround one another with the faith in you and the love for one another as we go. Thank you for safety. Thank you for protection until we're able to come back and to meet again. We give you praise and we give you honor. Hallelujah.